Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. Today's program is another in my Health Challenges series. My guest is Ingrid Phillips. For 11 years, Phillips has worked at Cornell University, and for the past five, she has been a diagnostic technologist at Cornell's Animal Health Diagnostic Center. She is also an independent consultant for Us Born Books and more. In June of 2012, she was diagnosed with Lyme disease, a often chronic, multi-symptom illness caused by a deer tick bite. We'll discuss her life-changing journey dealing with this illness. And welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, tell us, you said that at one point you sought medical help for pain in your hip. Did you have an inkling that it was something more? Tell us about this.
I had no idea. It was one of those things that I was having trouble with my right hip, and we move around a lot in the lab, and some of my coworkers also have other illnesses and also kind of mother others of us in the lab, and they saw me walking, having trouble walking, and they said, you really need to get that checked out.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that I didn't get things checked out as much before I had a child, but then after I had a child, I was like, you know what? I need to be healthy for her. So I went to the doctor, and he treated me for as if it was just arthritis. Mm. He took some tests. He took some, did a lot of different tests and took some blood samples and did run a test for Lyme, which is surprising because at that point, most doctors in Ithaca would not even think of testing for Lyme for one joint problem.
Yeah. But did you remember that you'd been bitten by a tick or that you had any,
absolutely
any kind
not.
Of an insect bite at all?
It's actually interesting now that more work is being done that they say that the bacteria can be carried by other biting insects. And I actually, mosquitoes love me. Love me. So who knows? I mean, my husband, I don't specifically remember a tick, but my husband says that, you know, I've had bad reactions to different biting insects in the past. So who knows really when and where I got it.
That's amazing that your doctor decided to do a test for Lyme disease.
He thought about doing that, but then the test came back negative.
Yeah.
But I wasn't getting better with the medication that he gave me for arthritis. And he said that if it were arthritis, that I should have
some relief or something.
Improvement, some relief. So then he tested me for Lyme again. It's a different test. A test that is typically only run when the first test comes back positive. So, and then he said, even while we were waiting for test results, he wanted to give me antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately felt so much worse, like pain throughout
the
my body.
The antibiotics caused that?
Yes.
Wow.
It's called a Herxheimer reaction, and I didn't know about it at the time, and I just, you know, called to make an appointment. I'm like, why do I feel so much worse? But the hip pain was nothing compared to this other pain.
Good heavens.
And when I talked to him, he said that actually can happen and does happen often with Lyme patients because the antibiotics are killing the bacteria, but then your body has to get rid of the toxins. And if your body can't get rid of the toxins fast enough, you have this pain.
Wow.
I've had to open my mindset of you go to the doctor, you have an illness, you treat the illness, things get better.
Yeah.
It's definitely.
And you're
changed.
A young woman, too. You know,
I'm
the
40.
Thought of arthritis. Yeah, I know. But so, I mean, the thought of arthritis or big hip problems doesn't seem feasible to.
Right.
You know, it had to have been something else.
Right. And that wasn't the first time that I went to the doctor for hip pain. I've also had back surgery. You know, it definitely opens your mind to the questions of when did this happen? Did this cause these other pain problems that I've been having off and on throughout the years? I have no idea.
But the doctor did finally diagnose you with Lyme disease in June of 2012,
right? In June of 2012.
So and so what was the next step when you found that, when you found out that was it a relief in some ways to at least know what you were up against?
It wasn't a relief because of the pain, you know? Because it hurts so much, I had to go on short-term disability at work. I was still going to my local doctor, and we were working together off of this how to treat Lyme patients by trying different antibiotics and combinations of antibiotics and seeing if things worked better or worse, whatever. But then it was, I think, October of 2012 that he said, you know, you should look into going to a specialist because you're not getting better, and I don't know the proper way to treat you.
So you had to go down to New York, right?
I did.
That's what they call a Lyme-literate doctor, right?
Yes.
God, that's very interesting to me. Is a Lyme, what's the discipline of a Lyme-literate doctor? Are they neurologists?
My particular one was I don't know if he's an epidemiologist or immunologist, but it's typically someone who there's two different camps in the Lyme world. There's the doctors that feel that Lyme can be treated with 3 or 4 weeks of doxycycline, and then you're better. And then there's the doctors that think, well, maybe you're not better yet. Maybe we shouldn't send you on your
I would
way.
Assume that they're tracing the patients who can tell them quite well if they're not
right.
Okay after 3 weeks, right?
And when one of the doctors says that it's just like, oh, it's just the stress. It's just in their heads. You know, there's so many people that no one would have that in their head.
Oh, I know. Well, see, that's been a big, long tradition, especially among women patients, that they've not been believed. They've been told they're hormonal or hysterical. You know, I mean, we've heard that. And I'm sure some doctors think that they also say chronic fatigue.
Right,
which is also something that some people think is in people's heads, right?
Right.
So continue with
So my doctor specifically, he's the head of the ILADS organization, and I can't remember offhand what it stands for, but where they do treat for longer than 28 days with antibiotics. He's seen a number of patients. He's been doing it for a number of years. So I just said, well, okay, let's go see what we can do.
And you had to have an IV of antibiotics, right?
Yeah, because some of the symptoms that I was having were and are neurological symptoms, like having nerve pain, having a bit of mouth droopiness on my face.
Like Bell's palsy.
Having a little, just a little bit, but enough, having some tingling. So we first ruled out, he had me go to a couple other doctors. The neurologist in town was great. The orthopedist was not. But
I've heard those stories.
But he wanted to rule out other things. But because of the neurological symptoms, IV antibiotics can cross the blood-brain barrier. And so I went on IV antibiotics and was on them for 7.5 months with
that. That seems counterintuitive.
With a year-and-a-half-year-old.
But what were some of the side effects that you probably had from being on those for so long?
IV antibiotics, I didn't have the Herx reaction.
Oh.
That was one thing. So I still had fatigue. I still had the joint pain, but not the pain all over. So in a way, it was worth it, but it was so hard because the antibiotics were only covered for 28 days by my insurance.
I was going to bring that up too. You talk about how Lyme has been financially devastating to
Absolutely.
You. And to tell us why. I mean, they're not covering these things. Why?
Because it doesn't exist. Chronic Lyme disease doesn't exist. And so the first 28 days of my IV antibiotics were covered by my insurance. You know, which I'm grateful for. And a home nurse was covered for weekly visits to do my dressing changes, but then my husband had to do them for me every week. And he's not a fan of needles and medicine.
Well, I can imagine.
And having a PICC line and not having it move, you know, it's stressful. And without the help of both sets of parents and stuff, I mean, we're still in quite a hole, but, you know, we're treading water at least.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's one thing that the regular antibiotics covered on insurance. But now that I go to a naturopath, a couple things that I can get prescription are covered, but otherwise nothing's covered.
So is there still a kind of a pervasive thought in the medical community that Lyme disease is not really something chronic and that it really can be cured and you must have something else?
Well, Lyme is the great imitator, so a lot of people that have been diagnosed with fibromyalgia or multiple sclerosis or other things, they may in fact have Lyme, but that's a side thing. But since I've started my treatment, the CDC came out with it's not 30,000 people a year that contract Lyme. It's actually 300,000 people a year contract Lyme. 300,000.
Wow.
You know, and if you're like me, and I used to go camping a lot and, you know, hanging out, going outside concerts, being outside. I went to grad school at a forestry school, you know, outside a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and especially in New York, ticks are out there.
So has this made you afraid of the outdoors? Have you virtually become a recluse inside your house?
Well,
except for going to work, of course.
I'm becoming a recluse because of, you know, being tired and sore all the time. But I try to not be afraid. But at the same time, my daughter, one night we didn't give her a bath. The next morning, going to wash her up before daycare, I think it was, my husband was looking on her chest. Saw a little tiny dot. I was like, what is that? And I don't want to freak him out. Okay, let's try to take it off, which was very emotional at, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning.
So it was a tick, though, huh?
I work in a lab that we test ticks for Lyme. So that's one of the things in my lab, and I have a tick expert that I looked under the microscope, and then I asked her to come over to verify what I saw. And thankfully, she said it looks like it hasn't fed, but we could test it. It was negative, so that was... But it's
made you really vigilant and probably on alert and full of anxiety.
And a lot of friends in local friends and then just the online community. If we're in a group together and somebody has a Lyme question, I get tagged into the post.
What else I wanted to ask you, Ingrid, while they were trying to diagnose this, you had to have MRIs. They put you on drugs that made you nauseous. I mean, this seems like a hit and miss experimental.
It absolutely is.
Disease that they're trying to deal with,
right? I remember seeing one of my pictures recently on Facebook that says, no two Lymies are alike. Every person has a different experience. When I went to did a Lyme fundraiser walk in 2013, was it 2013 or 2012? See, my memory's not so good. I remember being in the bathroom and hearing someone say that her symptoms are all from the neck up, like she couldn't remember anything. And that's how Amy Tan, who...
I was talking about Amy Tan with my producer just before we came on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How she couldn't remember where she lived, you know, like walking home from the store. It's like, wait, where is my apartment? Where do I live? Mm-hmm. So I have moments of brain fog, but not... as bad as that. But yeah, my symptoms are the pain, joint pain, and then the neurological symptoms. So,
if you're just joining us, my guest is Ingrid Phillips. This is one of my Health Challenges series shows, and we're talking about her Lyme disease, which she's been dealing with since June 2012. You finally did have to go back to work. You were on disability for 6 months, right?
Yeah.
What was that like? How different was that to have to go back to work? And did you feel normal again?
It was one of those things I hadn't thought about it. And then I got an email saying that my disability was running out as far as Cornell could only hold my job for 6 months. It was one of those, okay, let's go back and see how it goes. And so it was hard at first. I mean, I still had the PICC line, so I wore like a baby leg thing over it so that I wouldn't get caught on anything. And it's hard when you have to rethink how you do things, like avoiding taking stairs. You know?
So you still felt really weak.
Yeah. I was still very tired. I was still sore, but it was a matter of I had to try.
Yeah.
And actually, I am going out on disability again because of the recurring problems, that I'm having problems with just the nerve symptoms in my arms, and I use my arms for my work and in my back, too. Yeah. And I started a new treatment, but we have to just, this is the best thing.
So this disease has really sort of taken away your spirit in many ways. Because, I mean, it seems to me after 6 months, you're a working person, you've educated, you would want to, intellectually, you want to go back to work.
Absolutely, because I love my job. I love the people I work with. I love giving clients the results that they may or may not want. You know, it's a really good fit for me. And I love my job. And to just be going from that, and it's really exciting if we get stat samples in and getting all, you know, just cranking out the work, to just sleeping and laying in bed all day.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, it's difficult. And it's also difficult because, as you were mentioning earlier, just the fact that it's completely trial and error at this point, because everybody is different. And it's like, oh, well, this combination worked well for this other patient. Maybe it'll work well for you.
Yeah.
And so there's always hope. I've never been like, oh, God, woe is me. There's always hope. But then at the same time, it's like, why did the bad days have to still be here?
Yeah, yeah. I also want to bring up the fact that you did start on a natural path. And homeopathic. Tell us about that. How did you transition into that?
My local doctor, the one who you know, he's a Lyme advocate, but at the same time doesn't really want to be,
uh-huh.
I think. He mentioned that he had other patients going to see this local naturopath. And she was still learning, but at the same time, she had been treating some people with some good successes. And her mother had Lyme as well. Her mother has since passed away. But it was going to see her and having her do testing and like a genetic test as to why my body wasn't detoxing and I was having the horrible herxes and stuff like that. So it's just kind of been a progression. It's like, okay, we're a local doctor for a little while. All right, that's not working out. Okay, we'll go to the Lyme literate doctor in Westchester. But then there was a point where I was going and I was seeing all three at one point.
Wow.
So lots of doctor's appointments to keep straight. But yeah, what she's done is that because I was on antibiotics for more than 2 years, that can do damaging things to your
body. Oh, absolutely. I would think so.
So since I've been seeing her, I've gone gluten-free and dairy-free for the most part. Sometimes it sneaks in here and there to help, because that can increase your body's inflammation.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, it stinks. But if it's going to help me feel better, I will do it.
Have you been put on any, like, herbal medications? Have you tried acupuncture?
I am on herbal medications now, and just there's some herbal things that, like, I have a couple in the morning. I mean, I take medicine, I don't know if I mentioned this, 8 times a day.
No, you didn't mention that.
8 times a day I take medicine.
Oh, God. Well, oh, my gosh. I mean, you're only 40 years old.
With the almost 5-year-old and the puppy running, it's like, okay, go out of the kitchen. Well, I'm taking my medicine.
What kind of traditional medicines are you on, though? I mean, you're on homeopathic stuff,
right, and
perhaps herbal stuff, but are you still taking traditional medicines prescribed?
I'm not taking
antibiotics.
I am not taking antibiotics yet. I might have to go back on antibiotics, which I don't want to do. But, you know, whatever is best, you know.
But they do have some kind of drug that they're treating you with.
Yes.
Traditional medicine.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I am, you know, I am still being treated, and I take so many different medicines, and it's interesting that if I forget one, it's like, oh wait, I need that one.
You can feel it.
You know, I can feel the difference, which is shocking after all of this time.
You know, when somebody's up against something like this, you do get really in tune with your body.
Right.
I'm sure every little change, every little quirk, every little pain.
Yeah.
Do you have exercise regimen that you try to do to get your energy up? Is that one of the prescribed things? I know you don't have.
I should
have the energy to do anything. But.
Yes, I should, and that's one of the good things about working, is that, you know, it gets you moving, it gets you going, and I should do a regular regimen, but it's hard when you wake up and you're just sore.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
And it's just, it takes me a while to get moving in the morning. And then, you know, my husband will ask, well, how do you feel? Like, give me a minute.
Yeah, give me a minute.
I'm not quite sure.
Have you done any other dietetic changes besides getting rid of gluten and
so gluten-free, dairy-free, some other foods that can be inflammatory, like tomatoes and things like that, I don't eat a lot of.
Do you do green tea? I've always heard that green tea is good for inflammation.
I drink green tea anyway, so that one was easy. And, you know, the dietary changes, I came into this as a pescatarian, so like a vegetarian that eats fish, so it wasn't that hard for me to like knock out some other things, you know. It's like, well, I've done this for years, so it's...
Yeah, I would think somebody with this kind of a chronic disease, which they're experimenting on how to treat, you'd probably want to try almost anything within reason, right?
Basically, yes. Like, okay. Will this totally disrupt the way the medicine taking goes? Because it's a process. But yeah, if you can fit it in, I will do just about anything.
You know, one thing that you did say, you said that Lyme is a solitary illness. Well, what did you mean by that? You feel like you're by yourself? You feel like you're all alone in this in some ways?
In some ways, just because I am a recluse in my bedroom.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
You have to be there a lot, right?
It's where I go to get some quiet, to get away from it all. But it's, since everybody has a different experience and some people are very lucky to be well after medication, which is fantastic for them, but it's hard because I don't look sick.
Yeah, and neither does Amy Tan, you know. I mean, I've seen her talking about that on Facebook.
Right. It's
she's still writing novels, you know, yeah.
And so there are support groups.
I wanted to bring that up. Tell me about that. I mean, what is it? Do you meet?
I actually haven't been to the one in town, but it's a monthly meeting in town. I'm at least on the email listserv, so I get the emails and hear about different things going on and what they talked about and stuff. And then there's lots of groups on Facebook. But I remembered when I was in my most difficult time, when you're asking, it's like, what do you do for the pain? What do you do for nerve pain? Because nerve pain, nothing helps.
That still dominates oftentimes, right?
Yeah, and when you can't just take ibuprofen and it'll feel better. It just, nothing helps.
Yeah, yeah.
And the problem with that is that you don't have people, you have other people going through it with you, so they don't have the experience, the knowledge, the person on the other side that's gotten better. And because it is so, everybody's treatment plan is so individual.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very difficult.
Oh, no, I'm sure it is. So what do you do to keep yourself up? And you say you're never going to give up and you still have hope. You said that to me and you just said it now that you still have hope. What keeps you going? I mean,
my daughter.
Yeah?
She's awesome.
But you do feel okay off and on, right? I mean,
yes.
It's not constant.
Yes, it's not constant. And I know that, well, one of the benefits of not having to go on the long drives every month is that the drive hurts a lot. And so now we're staying home on the weekends. And after dinner every night, Violet wants to lay down with me and watch her phone or the iPad or a cooking show. She's really into Chopped now. I mean, she's almost five.
She needs to make anti-inflammatory meals for you.
Like, let's make
this. So you spend time with your daughter and you still have the energy to go to work, at least for now, right?
Well, I'm going out on disability again.
Just
now.
Just now. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it was hard to... I was not working the full 39 hours at Cornell, and it was hard keeping up with the work. And then when I would get home, and I'd just immediately go to bed, you know. And it was because of certain pains that I'm having. My job was also very understanding, and we also do a lot of different ergonomic things. So we have, like, standing hoods to use and sitting ones and different chairs, and you can get into the right angle and stuff. I mean, just sitting in this chair, for example, it's sore. I would not want to do this all day.
what do you think? I mean, what do you think the misconceptions are? I mean, have your friends been supportive? Have they said, you know, buck up and stop sleeping all, you know. But how have people reacted,
like,
though?
Because
there's a lot of lacking in understanding, even in the medical community about this, right?
Right. You know, I don't want to be, I think my friends acknowledge that I'm not just somebody who's trying to do things for attention, and I'm trying to spread awareness as much as I can. But at the same time, you know, I'll still get people who say, "Have you tried this?
Yeah.
I read something about this. What do you think about that?" I'm like, "Well, I have three different doctors that I'm going to, so you know, I'm willing to try everything, but with their recommendations first."
Did you feel like one of the things that you would recommend to people is you've got to be assertive?
Yes,
and you have to insist upon certain things.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I kind of wonder, thinking back to the vague memories of going to doctors. It's like, "Oh, I have this pain." And I'm like, "Oh, it's nothing. It's not lupus." I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And
so,
then
so
not
they
going
exclude
back.
Things,
you
yeah.
know. So it was one of those. It definitely, I'm glad I was assertive, that I really got along with, I get along with my local doctor. And I called him like, "I'm not getting better."
Yeah. No, I think people have to be assertive in any kind of medical situation, no matter what. We only have a couple of minutes left. What advice would you have for people who've just now been diagnosed with Lyme?
Definitely. I have local friends whose children have been diagnosed with Lyme because of the deer population in our area.
Yeah.
And it really helps to be on the lookout for the ticks every single day. Before the kids go to bed, and before you, to know the symptoms of Lyme. The symptoms may be different in children than they are in adults. And basically, if you find a tick on you, you can send it to be tested at the lab at Cornell or other places, or you can just, as one of my friends down in Georgia says, she bags it and she puts it in a freezer bag and writes the date and sticks it in the freezer.
Yeah.
And be on the lookout for symptoms.
So people should just be on alert. And so some of the symptoms can be fluish, can be fevers, can be joint pain.
A lot of people don't see the rash either.
Yeah, they don't. There's a bullseye rash
but a lot of people don't see it.
Yeah. So I suppose the advice would be, if this is something that continues, this kind of symptom, go get it checked out.
Go get it checked out.
Because you had said the earlier the diagnosis, the better.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, if you don't, my symptoms are more of the later stage. But if you can get in when you're having flu-like illness, some joint pains, you know, if you can get treated, the earlier the treatment, the better.
Right. Well, Ingrid Phelps, we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, this has been a Health Challenges show. We've been talking about Lyme disease, which Ingrid Phelps has been dealing with since 2012. Thank you so much. And there are a lot of support groups online. Check them out. One's called A Hope for Lyme. It's in the region. You find these things online. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega, and we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.